Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to Web Sleuth Radio. My name is Tricia Griffith, the proud owner of WebSleuth.com, the, in my opinion, best and biggest true crime discussion forum on the internet. Big news today for Web Sleuth members, a case we've been following for, 5 years now. A Santa Clara County jury convicted Antolin Garcia Torres of first-degree murder in the kidnapping and murder of 15-year-old Sierra Lamar. Now, y'all remember, Sierra left her house, catched the bus, normal day, back March 16, 2012, has never been seen again. Now, there was blood and DNA evidence found in Torres' car, which is part of the reason why they convicted him of first-degree murder. But Torres, the scumbag that he is, has yet to reveal where he left Sierra's body. Sierra's family continues to look for her, and our next edition of Web Sleuth Radio will have Mark Klass on to talk about the case and tell us how Sierra's family is doing. But first off, I have two people here I admire greatly. They are both in the true crime genre that we love. We have Kathy Russin, formerly of Court Chatter and now of LegalNews.com, and we all know him from the early days of Court TV, O.J. Simpson, Dan Abrams. Dan, welcome to Web Sleuth Radio. Thank you for joining us today.
It's good to be with you.
Okay. Hey, Kathy, we're good friends and everything, but woman, you're going to have to hold on for a minute because I've been wanting to talk to Dan for years. So, hi, Kathy. Hang tight. I'll be right with you, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
hey,
and the first thing we
got
to, but before we even start with Kathy, we got to get straight the name of the site. It's Law News with a Z. .com, not legal news, law news.
What did I say? I'm sorry.
You said legal news.
Law news.
That's okay. I figured, if you're going to tell Kathy to hang on, I figured this is an opportunity for me to step in and say, by the way.
It is. It's just because I'm nervous. Like you're famous, and I'm like a groupie.
Oh, yeah.
So
come on.
Anyway, so
your community,
law news.
You are the queen in this community. Don't underestimate yourself.
Oh, God, I love you already. You know, flattery absolutely will get you everywhere, Dan. Thank you. Now, Dan, we've known you since Court TV days when the O.J. Simpson case, and I can honestly say, and I'm not trying to butter you up, this is the truth, we all waited for your reports because you were honest. You didn't sensationalize, which we loved. I hate it when people sensationalize like that. And like I said, we knew we could count on you for the facts. Let me take you back just a little bit here. I was going over your bio. You have got so many websites going. You're like channeling your Coco Chanel because you have a fashion website even. Tell us, just before we get into the true crime area, tell us what other venues you have your fingers in.
I think the biggest sites that we have in addition to Law News is Mediaite, which is a media politics website, which is the largest site that I have, which sort of recognized early on that it's more interesting to cover politics through the prism of the pundits than through the politicians. And the Mary Sue, which is a, quote, girl geek site. It's basically an entertainment site for young women. Basically viewing the world of entertainment through the female prism. And that's been a really successful site with a great, passionate community of people. But I have to say that Law News, the fact that we've created an entire video network now around the true crime genre is it's the most exciting thing I've done to date. But we can hold off on that. But I'm going to keep promoting that because that's what I'm thinking about all the time.
And we're going to be talking about it here in just a little bit. So let's talk about LawNews.com and Kathy from Court Chatter. Kathy and I go way back. And, Kathy, I remember I met you at, I believe it was in Provo, the Provo trial of Dr. Martin, whatever his name was, the guy who just committed suicide. McNeil, that's right. And, Kathy, I knew right from day one, I knew you were going to be very successful because you were doing nothing. You were doing the things that nobody else was doing. You captured that market. And now you have merged with LawNews.com. Dan or Kathy, tell us how that works. How is Court Chatter going to be folded into LawNews.com?
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, so basically, let me just tell you a little background, which is, you know, Kathy is the ultimate kind of person that you want working on a true crime project. Why? Because she is a true fan, and she is a true watcher. She is someone who is obsessive about the details. And I'll tell you, as a former court TV reporter, the best court TV reporters were always the people who got super into the trials and who, you know, watched the entire trial, knew every detail of the cases, and, you know, you knew and who loved this stuff. Kathy is that person. Kathy could have easily been a top court TV reporter. She is passionate about this stuff. She understands it. And she's got, like you, she had a very passionate community of people who are really into watching trials. And as we were thinking about, like, what is the next step for us in building out this 24/7 video network, we thought, well, who better to have than Kathy and her community of people who already love to watch the sorts of things we're doing. Now imagine we can have Kathy on top of that. And it was sort of an easy choice for us, which is to say, how do we get Kathy on board? And so we acquired Court Chatter and Kathy in the process. And so she's now our senior trial producer and doing exactly the sorts of things that we had hoped, which is being our content person day to day on what's happening in the trials, little things that are on the air. She'll be watching and notice issues we need to change. She's going to be heading up the social media on for Law News Network. So, you know, for us, it was a big win to get Kathy, and I don't want to underestimate her followers as well. Kathy and her team of folks there was a big win for us.
Dan, I couldn't agree more. Kathy, let me ask you, did you ever in your wildest dreams imagine that this day would come when you started just tweeting about court cases?
No, not when I – it's exactly what Dan said. Look, I was a court TV fan. I was a stay-at-home mom when my boys were little, and I didn't get into soap operas. My soap operas were court TV and trials, and that's what I loved. And so that years ago, that developed into this passion. Now, years ago, would I have thought that I'm now working for Dan Abrams and we're together creating this so, so exciting video network online? No, not in a million years. Now, if you'd have asked me a couple years ago, I had hopes that something like this would happen. And I am so grateful that Dan recognized me. And like he said, even more than that, the followers. The Court Chatter followers are just so dedicated to all this, and based, you know, without them, there was no Court Chatter. So it turned out that this has been a perfect fit. It's been a perfect fit to merge the two, become Law News Network, and bigger and better things are also coming on the horizon for trial watchers. We're going to have even more trial streaming than they've ever had before. And so it's exciting. It's so exciting for me personally, but it's also very exciting for the trial watchers.
And absolutely, because we have all missed court TV. It faded away. Dan, what do you think happened to court TV? Why did it vanish?
A number of reasons. So when Steve Brill owned court TV, he was committed to doing it no matter what the ratings were, right? I mean, he would sometimes air boring civil trials because they were important. And he said, you know what? I don't care what the ratings are. We're going to air this because it's an important case. And, you know, I had enormous respect for that attitude. He then sold Court TV. And, you know, as you can understand, Court TV, at the same time as sort of a lot of media entities were becoming more of a business, you know, had to focus more just on numbers, et cetera. And as you know, it's very cyclical with trials. When you have a hot trial, numbers are up. When you don't have a hot trial, numbers are way down. And the problem Court TV had, at least one of them, was that they had to guarantee to the cable operators that they would have at least 6 hours a day of live trial coverage. And the issue with that is, if you don't have any interesting trial going on, you can't then go and just do legal news, which is what we can do. Like, so far, we haven't had to do that because we've been really fortunate with the number of really interesting trials that have been happening. But if there's a time, you know, when suddenly end of August, there are no live trials, you know, we don't have to go and play some incredibly boring case that no one's interested in. We can do legal news. We can focus on the trials we've covered. We can replay old cases, all sorts of things that weren't an option for Court TV. And I think, look, we have what Law News Network is recreating Court TV. I mean, it is really, it was a pretty simple concept. It just, these days, you can do it better, in more interesting way, which makes it the perfect time for this kind of network.
So we have lawnews.com, that's N-E-W-Z, and we also have Law News Network. Dan Abrams, tell us what that involves. I'm envisioning this huge presence on the Internet, which I love, all about true crime and court cases. How is it going to work?
So Law News Network is going to be Court TV, basically. It's going to be recreated,
okay,
basically doing trials live with in-studio. We have in-studio anchors. We have a set here in a space near my main office, which we took just to build out into a studio. And so Law News Network is going to be, right now, it's airing live trials from 9 to 5, or depending if it's a West Coast trial, 8, on weekdays, and then we're just repeating things. The goal in the next few months is to start creating some shows. We're actually going to start a sports show pretty soon, sports law show. We're going to actually do some replays of some old cases that people loved on the network as well. And the goal is more, to increasingly make it not just 40 or 50 plus live hours a week, but to have a full 24/7 network, which we're pretty close to doing. Lawnews.com is more a mix of law and politics, law and crazy, some crazy story that happened. So lawnews.com is more just a legal website. The Law News Network is going to be the true crime video live trial network.
And if you go to lawnews.com and click on the live and scroll down to watch live now, Law News Network, that's where you'll find you, Kathy, right? And that's where your followers can find you. You're there. You're talking about the case. You're talking about what's going on right now on lawnews.com. And that's what you're doing right at the moment, correct?
Correct. So for now, that is where you'll find us, lawnews.com. Click on the live tab and you will see what is currently live streaming. We've added the old favorites that trial watchers love, which is Live Bond Court out of Florida, out of Broward County and Brevard County. Mm-hmm. They were missing their bond
great court,
so now we have that on Law News. And then whatever trial is currently live will be there. And then the network stream is always there. And on the network, they will break it. They show the live trial. But as like Court TV did, they'll break in with maybe we're going to come in because on this other case, some really hot testimony is happening right now. So we're going to break in and show you that. Or when there's a break in court, then on the network, you have the anchors and they have guests. They have legal commentary. They have special interviews. That's what the network is. Then for each live trial or hearing, there's a raw, what we call a raw feed, and they can, it's a dedicated feed to that, and they can watch that all the time if they don't want to be on the network watching the commentary, which I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to watch that. That live tab, you click any of those under the live tab and a stream is going to come up, and underneath the stream is the familiar Court Chatter chat room that we have put there, so we have a place to chat and watch the stream at the same time. So that's how you'll navigate your way through lawnews.com to find just anything under the live tab is where we are.
And I would encourage everybody to go to Law News, that's lawnews.com, because you'll never leave. There's so much interesting information there. Dan Abrams, you also have some other people from Court TV that will be anchoring certain areas, right? It is going to feel just like Court TV. Who do you have?
Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of the – and you know what's – Beth Karras is one of our anchors, who's a former Court TV alum.
We love that.
And we've got all of our anchors right now are lawyers. The goal has been to really try and keep them, for the branding, you know, credibility of the network. I've tried to, it's not going to be a hard, fast rule. But because as you guys, I mean, as you know, that there are some of the best legal reporters in the country aren't lawyers, but for now, the anchors are all lawyers who almost all who've done TV, you know, a Fox, one of the people's a Fox News, analyst, one is on CNN sometimes. So we've got a bunch of different anchors, with different backgrounds. What's interesting is that we're getting pitched so much already for guest commentators, lawyers who missed the court TV days because there is nowhere.
Absolutely.
They keep saying, I can't believe that there hasn't been another place to go to where to do in-depth commentary. I mean, I can tell you, when I go in Good Morning America and I get a minute and a half every morning to talk about, you know, whatever the legal story is of the day, it's not the same. It just doesn't allow you to really dig in and really get your teeth, sink your teeth into something the way it does when you have some time.
Exactly.
And I wanted to make sure we mention another anchor, just because trial watchers are crazy about him. And he's very recognizable in this trial watching world. And that's Aaron Keller, who is a full-time anchor at Law News Network, a journalist and lawyer. And he was in that Netflix famous documentary, Making a Murderer. He was the reporter that we always saw in the background asking the questions. And anybody who is a trial watcher knows exactly who I'm talking about right now. And you can see Aaron Keller on the Law News Network every day, too. So the anchors, all of the anchors are fantastic.
And we all know them and love them and have seen their work before. And, again, this feels like old home week. I'm with you, Dan. How in the world nobody did this beforehand is beyond me. Is this going to be free, or is there going to be a small charge for people?
For now, it is free. And I say for now, not because it's necessarily going to go behind a paywall, just because, you know, if I ever decide that I need to do X, Y, and Z, you know, I don't want this clip being used against me. As of right now, there's no plan to put it behind a paywall. But, you know, we have to figure out. We're just in the process now of talking to various places about distribution. We're talking to major cable networks about partnerships. We are, you know, so we're right in the process now of figuring out what is this going to look like as a business. It's going to be there. It's just a question of what is this going to look like? How is it going to manifest itself? Are we going to, you know, are we going to make money based on sub fees? Are we going to make money based on advertising? Or are we going to, you know, would we have to do some sort of subscription? The answer is subscription is not my ideal choice as to how to make day-to-day revenue. Now, will there be a subscription offering where you can get special benefits and, you know, access to archives or whatever the case is? Yeah, maybe. But in terms of watching live trials, there's no plan as of yet. To put it behind a subscription wall.
I love how you're always thinking like a lawyer. Just, okay, this is not going to come back and haunt me. I'm going to make sure it won't. Well, let's talk a little bit about at least one of the cases. It's already started yesterday. It's a retrial of a Santa Fe County deputy. And Mr. Chan, is it Ty Chan? Is that how you pronounce his name? He killed a fellow deputy, Jeremy Martin. Right, just after midnight on October 28, 2014. It was inside a hotel, and Chan claims he shot Martin in self-defense. Now, his first murder trial was declared a mistrial. This is one that you are covering live. Dan, why don't you start, and then we'll go to Kathy. Give us some meat and potatoes of this trial, because this sounds fascinating.
Well, I'm gonna give you the potatoes, and then I'm going to let Kathy take it away on the meat, because she knows this case better than I do. You know, bottom line is two deputies are transporting a prisoner. They stay at a hotel overnight. Somehow there's a fight in the room that they're sharing. 10 shots fired. One kills the other. And the question is, was it self-defense? So he is basically the prosecutors believe they got into a drunken fight and that Chan shot the other guy. The defense is saying he was acting in self-defense, and as you know from covering so many of these cases, when there is no, you know, there's not a lot of evidence. I mean, look at Robert Durst as a great example. The reason he was acquitted in that Texas trial was because, you know, it was far-fetched that he claimed self-defense, but disproving it can be difficult for prosecutors. So that was, I think, the challenge in the first case. But look, I'm gonna hand it off to the woman who knows more about this case than I do, which is Kathy.
Kathy, this is going to be fascinating.
Okay, Kathy, can I ask you one quick question? Let's start with, why was the first murder trial declared a mistrial, and then let's go from there.
You know, it's crazy because, well, I don't know that it's crazy. This case is very interesting for jurors and very interesting for trial watchers. He testified. Ty Chan testified in his first trial, and by the way, today in opening statements, the defense promised that he's going to testify again. So we will have a defendant testifying in this trial, which always, always is good. So Ty Chan claims that Jeremy Martin, the other officer, was attacking him and that he had no choice but to shoot him. So there will be some testimony and some evidence brought in that there was an argument between them and that Martin was not happy earlier in the evening. And he also may have called Chan some discriminating names. So I think that is why jurors got hung up on this, because you have an officer who testified in his own defense and who talked about this fight, and that he was, and also Chan had some injuries on his face, very, very little, but he did have injuries on his face where Martin likely hit him. So that's why this was a hard case for jurors, and I think it's going to be again. Now, on the flip side of that, it may not be so hard because Martin was shot in the back several times as he's running to try and get in the elevator. So,
Yes.
And Chan on the stand the first time around explained that he was panicked, he was in fear for his life, he didn't know if Martin was going to turn back around and go for him, he didn't know if Martin had another gun because he'd wrestled this gun away from him. His testimony is very, very interesting. And we have been replaying that on the network yesterday. Openings were supposed to start late yesterday afternoon, and they didn't. So they did start this morning. We have played them this morning. We have them archived, so you can watch them anytime. So, and you can also watch archives of the first trial. We have that as well. I think jurors were confused back then and will be again this time. First of all, you shoot a guy in the back. How is that self-defense? Now flip it around,
right?
And there is evidence there was a fight. And so that's how we got a hung jury the first time around.
It's going to depend a lot on the jurors if they like him or not. That is going to be a big part of it. Kathy, how did he come across? Did he come across as arrogant or as very sincere? What was your take?
Look, my opinion of him, I remember vividly watching it the first time. My opinion is I thought he wasn't likable to me or really believable. Now, you'll be able to find, you know, probably just as many people that felt the opposite about him on the stand. So I think exactly what happens to jurors.
And I'd add, Tricia, that this is one of the big advantages of a defendant testifying for the second time. Meaning people talk about the disadvantages, right? Which is that you've got inconsistent statements. Oh, we can use his first testimony against him, et cetera. The advantage of the second time is when the issue is a demeanor, when the issue is the way the person came across, the lawyer can work on that with the defendant for the next trial and try to soften it up. And try to help if the person's salvageable.
Right.
Exactly.
And the interesting thing was he didn't come across unlikable because maybe he was egotistical or hardened or whatever. He was almost very, wimpy and very, he was a member of a SWAT team. And he didn't come across like that at all, to where it almost made you feel like he's really playing this up.
So what did Chan and Martin fight about to the point where someone had to end up dead? Were they friends, enemies? What was the deal?
That's the biggest question. So they never knew each other before this transport. Chan's regular partner could not go on this transport. So they, so Martin came. They had never met before. They drove a prisoner back over to across state line to Arizona, dropped him off at the Department of Corrections, and were coming back and decided to stay the night in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And the Dallas Cowboys were playing that night. It was Monday Night Football, and that's Chan's favorite team. And so he wanted to go out to the bar and watch that. And so they went, and a night of drinking ensued. And at the bar, there are witnesses who will testify that they started arguing about ridiculous stuff, really. But Chan, you know, Martin was talking about a case that had just happened there in New Mexico that he had been a part of, that was a double homicide of teenagers. And Chan makes a comment, and he admitted this when he testified, that he said, well, if you'd gotten there faster, they'd still be alive. And that set Martin off. And that, and then Chan, when he testified, said, I was joking. It was just a dumb joke, which, you know, come on. So that set Martin off. And then there'll be then there's going to be other testimony that Martin, at some point during the night, returned to Chan, and he called him like a homosexual slur, even though Chan had a pregnant girlfriend. And so there was a lot of animosity going on. And then they went back. And the weird thing is they were sharing a hotel room, which I thought was kind of odd. But they shared a hotel room.
Budget cuts.
Because they, And yeah, you're right. And they were stuck in this hotel room together. And so Chan's testimony is that they were fighting, and he went and locked himself in the bathroom because he was fearing for his life. And so that's how it kind of all went down. Now, we only have one side of the story after they get back to the hotel. But it could have, it sounds like alcohol involved idiots saying things that they didn't mean to say, and that somehow fueled into whatever ended up happening in that hotel room.
And we can watch this live on Law News. That's LAWNEWZ.com. You click on live, scroll down, you'll see the Tai Chan murder trial, and that's where we can watch exactly how it goes down. Dan, I know you have to leave here in just a minute, but I want to ask you one more question, if I may. Tell me, if you have to pick, what is the most bizarre, strange thing you have either seen happen or a full trial? If you had to pick one weird thing out of your whole career, what would it be?
You know, look, I think that the O.J. Simpson case was, you know, people always say to me, this case is going to be the next O.J. This is going to be the next O.J. My answer is always like, there's never going to be another O.J. There won't be. And the reason for that is because it was a unique time in media history with cable news just coming out, people fascinated by watching trials, race, celebrity, domestic violence, DNA, et cetera. And so that case was so weird in terms of being there that, you know, like people always say about trials, and you guys know from being at these trials, people, oh, this trial's a circus. But the truth is, once you get in the courtroom, things are very controlled and contained, et cetera. And yeah, there's some cameras outside. The O.J. Simpson case was a madhouse. I mean, you walked out of the courthouse and there were people selling hats with the lawyers' names on them. There were watches for sale with a Bronco being chased by a police car as the hands on the watch. There was a Judge Ito Jell-O mold. It was like the experience of being there, and every day the tiny minutia of the case that would become a huge national story, you know, oh my goodness, this DNA expert said this, and you know, it was, there was something about the magnitude of every little detail in that case that actually was good training, because I was still, you know, pretty young. It was one of the first cases I ended up covering, but it was a great reminder as to the importance of the details in the cases, that every detail matters. And it was a good place for me to start, because I tried to continue my career that way, by caring about all of the, you know, it's funny, as I listened to Kathy talk about the trial, you know, I'm just reminded how important all these, you know, details are, you know, the Monday Night Football thing, things I don't know because I'm not following the case as closely as Kathy is, but they're so critical to understanding why jurors do what they do and don't do what they do. And I'll say one other thing. by the way, which is not directly to the question you're asking, but in terms of the trial, we're also covering what I think is a really interesting case, this Criado trial, where a dad is killing his three-year-old toddler. And I've just been struck, and again, I'm not following it as closely as Kathy, but I'm struck by how little evidence there is. I mean, you know, accusing a dad of killing a three-year-old, it's the worst kind of crime you can imagine, but it's also the worst kind
of
crime to be accused of if you didn't do it.
Right.
I don't know if he did it, but I will tell you that based on what I have seen in the evidence in the case, the evidence is incredibly weak. There are little details that are really troubling, like, you know, three-year-old supposedly walks out to lake or gets to lake somehow. Either someone takes him there or he walks there. Couldn't have walked there because there's, you know, his white socks didn't have any leaves or on them or anything. They were clean, so someone carried him there. But when it comes to dad, the evidence just isn't there. And I think, you know, what a fascinating case this has been because it's close, because the outcome isn't clear. You know, so many of the cases we all follow, we all say, come on, of course the person did it.
Right.
It's so obvious.
Exactly.
And that's not how I feel in this one.
Interesting. Well, Kathy, hang on, because I'll talk to you more about that case. Dan,
okay.
I know you have to go. It has just been an honor to talk to you. Like I said, I've watched you from day one on Court TV, and I'm delighted that you are back and bringing us Court TV again, basically on the internet, and you hired one of the best here with Kathy. So thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Trisha. It was great to be on with you. Kathy, talk to you later.
See you later, Dan.
Take care now. Bye-bye. Okay, Kathy, Dan was talking about a case, and I'm not familiar with this. Tell us the name of the case and give us kind of the details and the background, because this does sound fascinating.
Okay, so this is also under the live tab on lawnews.com.
Uh-oh, you went into a cave. Hold on. What happened?
Hang on. Let me see. Does this sound better? Sorry about
better.
That. Sometimes the reception in my office isn't so great. Okay, so David Criado. We've been following this case for weeks now. The court has only 3 weeks. So it's the case is going on, but I agree with Dan completely. The evidence is so shaky against the defendant. He is accused of killing his 3-year-old son, and the motive is his 17-year-old girlfriend, his teenage girlfriend, who didn't want to be strapped down with a child, and didn't. There are text messages that are between them with her complaining that the weekends that she spent with him, he's always with his son, with his little boy. And that is the motive, prosecutors say, for him getting rid of his little boy.
Wow. That sounds a little bit like the Haley Cummings case almost. So she's 17. Do we know how old he is? Is this a creepy thing?
He was, at the time, I think he was 21. Now he's 23, I think. So not a huge age difference. And she was also already started in college. She wasn't 18 yet. And he had a really loose custody agreement with the mom, with his ex, and they lived fairly close to each other. So he did have Brendan quite often, but he also lived with his parents. So Brendan was in the home with the grandparents and all of that. But he did have Brendan quite often, and the girlfriend lived, was going to school. So this is a New Jersey case. The girlfriend was going to school in New York, college.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like riding a train and going a distance to come see him on the weekends. And so her complaint is, it's all about your son and we don't get time together. And, you know, it's not like I don't like him personally, but I just don't like kids, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle of the night, little Brendan goes missing. Well, in the morning, David, he goes by DJ, DJ Criado, calls 911 to report his son that he woke up in the morning and his toddler that had been sleeping on the couch in the other room is nowhere to be found. And that's how it starts. And we have the 911 call also on the site, and he's very calm. I'd like to report my 3-year-old missing.
And
the
everybody
call.
Will say, my gosh, if that was my child, I would be hysterical. And that's the truth.
That's what everyone
that's
is saying,
me.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you go the other way and you go, if you did this on purpose and then you needed to set up the 911 call, why wouldn't you be overreacting? So
why
you can look.
Hysterical?
Why wouldn't right? Why wouldn't you have planned the hysteria? But he's very just calm and very. And then his mother is in the background of that 911 call, you know, looking for Brendan. So it's a very eerie call. And Criado's very just calm talking to the dispatcher. So if he's just hours earlier killed his son and carried him off. And by the way, so they found hours later that day, they found little Brendan. In the woods near Criado's home, dead, and he was kind of halfway submerged in a river that they had there, like a creek, but not drowned, and he was like on a rock. And the investigators have all described it and testified that it looked like he'd been placed there on his back, palms up, and he had white socks on that he was wearing with his pajamas the night before. And had, like Dan mentioned, the white socks are clean. And you have to walk down a path in the woods. And the jury went on that view, by the way. The jury went on that walk.
Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, to me, that's huge. But, okay, so.
Right, so Criado at first was saying, sorry. He at first was saying, you know, he must have wandered off. He must have gotten out by himself and wandered off. And then, you know, he doesn't know what he doesn't know what happened. You know, the whole defense is we don't know what happened. We don't know. That's what the defense is. We don't know what happened. So on one hand, they're kind of like he must have gone off and wandered off on his own. But on the other hand, it's very obvious that little Brendan met with foul play, except the medical examiners, which, by the way, he had three autopsies done by three different medical examiners, do not have the cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they don't.
And so no. Now they say it's that he could have probably been asphyxiation, and that the you know the thing in the eyes they talk about where they can tell if someone
petechia.
Has been strangled.
Right,
yeah, there you go.
Petechia.
And so the medical examiner did talk about that, and it looks like that's how it happened. But they could not determine a cause of death on little Brendan, and he was found there. But because of the white socks, it's very obvious, or the non-dirty socks, I think it's very obvious Brendan's body was carried there. But so the defense, is just like, we don't know. Their whole defense is we don't know. We don't know what happened to Brendan. You know, I went to bed and I woke up and he wasn't there. And that's the defense. But there is nothing else linking Criado to this. There's no like cell phone tracking into the woods and back in the middle of the night. There's no one saw him do anything. There was nothing, there's no DNA evidence on little Brendan at all, because he'd been submerged partly in the water most of the time before they had found him. So, and that was testified to, that because his pajamas were soaked for so long and his socks were soaked for so long, that they didn't have any DNA. So there really isn't anything linking him to doing this, except little Brendan was in his care and they have what they say is the motive of the girlfriend.
Was the girlfriend was not there, though, right?
Right, and she has an alibi, an ironclad alibi. She wasn't even in, she was in New York.
Boy, you know, Kathy, just going on what you said and what Dan Abrams said earlier, if I had to decide right now, I would have to say not guilty, not necessarily because I think he's innocent, just as much as there's just, you can't convict him on that. There's nothing to convict him. Other than the lack of evidence might be evidence itself, but, you know, maybe if he was in the water that, you know, washed away any leaves or dirt that were on his socks.
The defense really tried to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They
were cross-examining the detective saying, you know, mm-hmm. you know, couldn't the socks have been washed away? And then she was very adamant that the water wasn't running like that, and there was no way that it could have just made those socks, you know, that clean. They also very interestingly had a detective do the walk in socks, and they showed those socks in court compared to Brendan's socks.
Well,
so
I
it
mean,
was
the
very
weight of
obvious.
A person is, yeah, the weight of the person is going to make the socks a lot dirtier. You know, you'd have to almost get a toddler the same age and weight and walk them down.
So they did. So you want to hear what they did? they then got a toddler, but they didn't want to, like, have a toddler walk in just socks and bare feet because they were afraid they would hurt the toddler. So they had the toddler wear shoes, but put socks over the shoes and had a toddler walk it. I know. This case is crazy.
Oh, wow. That is crazy.
Either way, they got dirt on the socks, and Brendan had no dirt. So far, that's pretty much the compelling, like, real physical evidence is the socks. And how could they be clean? So, but that for me, that only means that Brendan met with foul play. But did his father do it? And then you flip it around. Yeah, you flip it around, and you're like, but who else? Okay.
Yeah.
Who else? They haven't been able to put up any other likely suspect to kill little Brendan. And here's another important thing: in the middle of the night, or like 1:30 in the morning, or whatever. Criado is, like, checking the girlfriend's social media over and over again, because we also have testimony and evidence that she had been mentioning another guy at college. And so the prosecution theory is he began to get incredibly jealous. They were doing a lot of fighting over social media. And those texts, by the way, those texts just started to be read. We've been waiting for these texts. We've heard reports of what they could contain, but we actually saw and heard the text today, and they're going to continue next week. This week, the trial was only in session today. The judge has got a crazy schedule. So next Tuesday, they'll continue with the text, but we have the archives of what happened today, and they had a court personnel. They had, like, a person of the prosecution team, two people read them as if one was the girlfriend and one was Criado, and they read these texts all morning long. And all these two do was fight, 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 make up. It's like drama, 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 drama. And the theory is that he began to get increasingly jealous, thinking that she had met somebody else who didn't have kids at college, and even was checking her social media in the middle of the night that night because he couldn't get a hold of her or get her to respond back. And then the next morning is when Brendan is missing.
And so they could say, there is your connection. That's what pushed him to this point. But there's nothing in the dad's past to suggest that he would be a bad father or he would harm this child in any way, is there?
That's the whole thing. So they get the mom, the ex, on the stand of Brendan's mother, who can't say that he was ever a bad father. Who says he always loved? Now she's not sticking up for him, and I believe she believes he did something to him. But when questioned by the defense, all she could ever say is nothing would ever lead her to believe that he would be responsible for this, and he's been nothing but a loving father.
Oh, man, I would not want to be on that jury. That would be so, so tough. But even if it's a tie, it always goes for the defendant. And sometimes that's what juries do. They make really, really tough decisions. Okay, Kathy, I know you have to go, dear, and I appreciate you taking the time. You know you're always welcome back to talk about any case, to promote whatever you'd like on lawnews.com. I can't believe I called it legal news at the beginning. I was nervous, Kathy. I mean, this guy.
I was going to jump in and correct you, and I just thought, I'm just going to let it go and see what Dan says.
Oh, I have no idea that I even said that, but I was such a nervous wreck, you know, and then he made me feel totally, totally calmed down. So it is lawnews, NEWZ.com, and Kathy Court Chatter is now part of lawnews.com, and Kathy, congratulations. You deserve this. You're a wonderful human being. You're caring, a hard worker, and you deserve all the good that comes your way, my dear. So
Trisha, you have always been a huge supporter of mine, and I did just want to just thank you publicly. I've thanked you privately many times. You've been a huge supporter, and you've been there since the day Court Chatter launched in 2013, and you've always been a champion of Court Chatter and of me, and I appreciate that, and I'll come on anytime to talk about any case.
Oh, thank you. Well, you deserve it. I knew this really, truly, and I said this earlier, that the moment I saw what you were doing, I thought, she's going somewhere, and you were so good at it from the very beginning. It was wonderful. Okay, this has been a great show. Our guests have been wonderful. I haven't said very much, which always makes it an even better show. So, Kathy, again, come back anytime. We'll be in touch very soon, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Take care now. Bye-bye. Okay, well, that's it for this week. Next week, we will be talking about Sierra Lamar and other cases as well. It's Web Sleuth Radio. Don't forget to join us at websleuth.com, and I want to plug our brand new political forum. It's called PolitiVent. You can vent about politics. We have one rule there, well, two, but basically, you can't call each other names. You can't disparage each other, okay? You can't say you're an idiot or your kids are ugly or can't do that. And you can't throw out any crazy conspiracies like Pizzagate. That's it. That's it. We don't moderate that forum. So go to websleuth.com, scroll down the front of the page, or actually click forums, then scroll down the front of the page and find PolitiVent and just go nuts. But follow those two rules. Just be nice, okay? Okay, see you next week now. Bye-bye.